thankful today for salvation. If the Lord hadn't had mercy on this fella, I'd still be wandering in sin. But again, I want to encourage. It's a beautiful picture to me to go to a congregation that has a lot of young people and young couples. And I want to encourage you to live for God. If I can do it, you can do it. I'm no master of great mind or anything like that. But Jesus Christ died and done everything He done for my little old soul. And I'm thankful He did. And then He has proved Himself to be a great Savior and a great strength and power to help me to be able to live the life that He wanted me to live. I've made some mistakes. I've not been perfect all the way through. I've said things sometimes I wish I hadn't. I had to apologize and ask forgiveness. But I want to encourage you that if you'll live for God, God will help you. It is possible this morning to live the type of life that the Bible tells you to live. It is. If some people think, well, this, you know, you all live your life and it's too high. No, it's not. It's possible. I know I've done it by the help of the Lord. I really need your prayers this morning. I have a heavy burden. And I realize I'm an emotional preacher. But this morning, I want the Lord to help me to tone it down a little bit, if that be possible. And I get wound up, fired up, or however you want to say it, and I get to going. And Becky says, sometimes you're a little too emotional, dear. And I realize that. Sometimes I've got out of the pulpit and thought, I wish I'd slowed down some. But this subject this morning is about as serious a subject in some ways that a minister can have on his heart. And I want to do it the way the Lord wants it. And I need your prayers. Let's go to the 90th chapter of Psalms, the 10th verse. I want to lay a little foundation that I feel the Lord's inspired me with. And then we'll move into my text. Well, let's start reading here about the 8th verse, 90 and 8 of Psalms. Thou set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet there is strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Now it said, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, help us here. Lord, help us to be able to consider and weigh and to think according to the 10th verse, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, it'd be wise for you and I to consider how old we are, consider our life, consider where we stand before God. These meetings are not just held as a play place or a get-together. These meetings are held for the purpose of souls. These meetings are held for people to get help, to be blessed, encouraged, edified, filled, saved, sanctified, satisfied. These meetings are held for a reason. And you and I this morning, when we come into these places, we shouldn't just come in with a light heart and I'm just here to eat, drink, and be merry, but we ought to come into this place considering considering that we need to number, consider, weigh how many days we've got left. But the bottom line is, you and I don't know how many days we've got left. Well, we need to apply our hearts to wisdom that now is the day of salvation. Now is the time that we ought to consider and weigh and think that I may not have much time left. There is quite a few people here, and I don't know how many, there's several, that would be above 70, or between 60 and 70. There may be some here that is between 70 and 80. And according to this, in a sense, you're living on borrowed time. We need to think about it. Every day is precious. Everything that we have is precious. Now let's go to John 6 and 44. John 6 and 44. said, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Now it said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent. Except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. God has to deal with our souls. The devil don't want you and I to live for God. And God has to come along the very scope and set of sin and the devil and corruption and all that is to lead a man down the downward way. And it takes the light and the tuggings and the conviction and the workings of the Spirit of God for you and I to get saved. For you and I to be able to turn and look and consider and weigh out that now then, I want to get saved. I want to live for God. When God was convicting me and dealing with me, I didn't know all about it. But I got to the place that I wanted to give it all up except for God. Give all sin, all corruption, all my old life. I wanted something new. I wanted something different. Happy, peace, and joy. But the bottom line is, you and I can't get to God just at any time we want to. Now there is also the angle of it that we can seek after God. And there's another angle said, prepare to meet thy God. So if you're not being dealt with and called after and so forth, to get saved and everything, there's an angle that I preached a number of times down through the years to seek after God. And God may have mercy and look down, but that may take days and weeks and months. Brother Kimball said God had been working with him. He didn't totally realize it. He said this was knocked out and that happened and this happened. He said people actually start telling him, "Let me tell you something, Lewis. You need prayer. You need to get saved," whatever they told him. He said he went in his closet and he fasted and prayed and sought God for 3 days before he prayed through. Now I'm saying all that to get down to my burden. So what I'm saying is that you can seek God and you possibly can do that and get saved without God turning and dealing with you. And I want to make this very clear because I've got a reason for saying all this, that you can seek, but you better be seeking. You can fast, you can pray, you can beg, you can plead, and a lot of times God, in His mercy, will look down. But then the angle here is that no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. In other words, for you and I to get saved, basically what this is saying is God's got to draw after us, call after us, and work with us, and then we look up to Him and we begin to count our cost, we begin to weigh it out, and we begin to reach out to God and repent and forsake and confess. And when we do that, the blood of Jesus washes us from all sin. All right, let's go to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Matthew, the 18th chapter, and the 3rd verse. Now, I believe This is one of the scriptures. And some of us will remember this message. I've never heard this really preached on too much. But Brother Merrill Williamson, Cousin Connie, preached right down here a message, talked about watermelon wine. You remember that? And there's some others in here probably remember that night, that message a number of years ago back in the 80s. But he was preaching on except you be converted. If I remember right, that was his burden that night. And it said here, whosoever there, no, it said in, and said, verily I send you except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So tonight, we can't just get into heaven on our own. You've got to be saved, you've got to be redeemed, you've got to be washed of blood, you've got to be converted, or you and I will not be able to go to heaven. You've got to be converted. There's got to be a plan. Jesus said over here, I go my way. You seek me and you shall die in your sins, and whether I am there, you cannot come. So bottom line is, if you and I die in sin, we're not going where Jesus is. We're going to be lost. We're going to be lost. All right, my burden. Let's go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Ninth chapter, and we'll start reading here about the 26th verse. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. You and I have a lot of appointments in life. We're going to go to a dentist. You're going to go to an eye doctor or eye specialist, whatever you want to call it. There's people that have appointments with lawyers. They have appointments with, people have appointments with doctors, they have appointments with, to pick things up and do things and so forth. And we have appointments, and those appointments are pretty serious. We'll have appointments all along life's journey. Those appointments is something that most people labor hard. I have people that tell me that, well, I got an appointment on so-and-so and so-and-so. I got to go to a doctor, whatever it might be. And you know, if I don't get this appointment and I miss that or change that, it said it may be months down the road before I can get in again. So those appointments are serious to people. And they want to be able to keep them and take care of them, and they value them, and especially if they're hurting or they got problems or trouble or need help. Those appointments are very, very valuable to them. You and I have appointments all through life. But then, in this scripture, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Here is our last two appointments. And this is the most serious. You and I need to be very careful how we handle this appointment or these appointments. We need to be very careful. All we need to do, I think it'd be valuable sometimes if some people would go through a cemetery every day and look at the deaths and those people that are lying cold in the grave. They ought to look and consider, walk among the dead, so to speak. You knew them, you talked to them, maybe there's mom and dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, whoever it might be, and you go out there and you look at it and you weigh it and you consider it and think about they were alive and now then they're out into eternity. They're gone. They died. Maybe they were 80 years old. Maybe they were 90 years old. Maybe they were 100 years old. But they're gone. They met their last or one of their last appointments. And as it is appointed unto man, once to die, but after this, the judgment. Do that very good. it, but you and I will die. The situation here is you and I are going to die, but when are we going to die? There is not an individual in here who can hand me a date that I'm going to die on that day. Jesus don't work that way. You have an appointment. You have an appointment with death. You have an appointment to meet Jesus. You have an appointment to stand before Him, bow before Him, get down before Him. You have an appointment that you're going to deal with one of these days. But you and I don't know when that day is. You don't know what time that is. You don't know what second that is. There's been hundreds of people. There's been thousands of people that has died since you and I have come in this chapel and begin to have service this morning. Mr. Gerald Avery, he stepped out into eternity. There's numbers and thousands that die every hour and go out into eternity. And you and I are going to die. But you and I do not know when we're going to die, do you? I'm young, Brother Carl. I got a lot of years. Go to the cemetery and look at those people that are young that are in that cemetery. I buried two twin boys. They were 5 months or 4 months premature. But they're out in that cemetery today. They went home to be with Jesus. There's young people, there's babies, there's middle-aged people, there's teenagers, there's old people. There's people of all classes of life, rich and old, young and poor. It doesn't matter who they are. You and I have an appointment with death this morning. We're going to meet Jesus. We're going to die. We're going to step out into eternity and bow before the great I Am. You're going to do that one day, but when are we going to do it? Now then, He said, except the Father which sent me draw him. The Father draw him. Here's the serious part. I want to wait. I want to get saved in my time. I want to do it my way. But the bottom of it is, if you and I wait, or people wait on a deathbed experience, there is no guarantee that He's going to give you a call at that time. There's no way that you know, will He say, come, when you're on your deathbed. A number of years ago, I was in a meeting, and had gone home that night to begin to get ready to go to bed. And I was praying for family members and I was begging, Lord, have mercy and give them time to get saved and deal with them and work with them. I was pleading to them and the Lord gave me a very striking thought. He said, some people die so fast they don't have time to repent. They don't have time to repent. They don't have a chance to pray. But I'm going to pray, Brother Carl. Are you? Will you have a chance to utter one prayer before you go out into eternity? There was a minister of the gospel, and I related a little bit of this, 90 minutes in heaven. And this man had left a convention in Houston, Texas, and he was going along, and in his car, a big old semi come down and got across the lane, and the back tires of that trailer went up over his little car, right over the driver's side, and crushed down and killed him instantly. He said, all I knew was, I felt a warmth and a light, and he said, I was going out into eternity. I knew a man, a young man. That young man was in a meeting in Guthrie a number of years ago. And he was there and the conviction was heavy and the gospel was going forth. And he went and he turned and he walked out the door. And my brother went after him and begged him to come back in. Begged him to pray. Begged him to get saved. No, I'm going to do it another day. Whatever he told him. And he went his way. And that young man in 2 weeks' time was caught up in a whirlpool near Guthrie, Oklahoma and drowned and went out into eternity. Young man. 18, 19 years old, 16, whatever he was. Oh, tonight, dear, this morning, dear ones, you will die, but when? Will you have a chance to pray before you step out into eternity? Will you have a chance to do anything? There was a young lady down in the state of Florida that had gotten saved. She had been a prostitute, and the saints had met her and worked with her and dealt with her and pled with her, and she had some conviction, and she poured out her heart, and she got saved, and she was going to service, and everything was going well, but she began to get a little lax.
and she began to drift. And she went back to her old life. They said one day she walked out of a building and was coming down a sidewalk. And there was another sidewalk here, and there was a man over here and a man over there, and they had guns. And they pulled those guns, and just as she walked between them, they fired, and she dropped dead right there. Didn't have a chance to pray anymore. Jesus said, "Son, they die so fast, they don't have a chance to pray." That minister of the gospel, he didn't have a chance to pray. She didn't have a chance to pray. Princess Di was killed in an accident. And I've heard that she had a little bit of time before she stepped out into eternity. But I don't know that for a fact. I don't know that my brother said that wreck. He's seen some pictures. Of course, he's a professional body man. He said, Carl, he said the impact and so forth of that car was a horrendous impact. She stepped out into eternity. Matter of fact, nearly everybody in that car was killed that night. The rich, the poor, the famous, the young, the old. It doesn't matter who it is. The bottom line is you and I are going to die. We're going to go out into eternity. You may die on a deathbed. You may die in an auto accident. You may die in a shooting. You may die in another accident. There's all kind of ways mankind dies. Why, we were told this morning about an accident of a man that was involved in blowing silage up into a big silo. And this man stepped over a PTO. He should have never done that. It grabbed his pants and began to work. It literally pulled his leg off his body. He got away from the deal and began to crawl, but he died in a few moments' time. How much time prayer? You can be, let me tell you something. I've been in a place in extreme pain. So much pain I couldn't hardly stand it. I got news for you. You don't have a lot of prayer time at that time. Your mind is so clouded sometimes in so much pain. Maybe you're crying out to God in an extent, but you don't have maybe a good clear mind. You don't have, I'm begging you this morning, you will die. But when will you die? How will you die? And how is God? He's dealing. He's calling. Right now is the day of salvation. He's begging and dealing. He's called after people. I felt like people were kind of holding God back in this meeting. I believe the Lord wants to save and satisfy and sanctify. I believe He wants to help people. But you and I are going to have to come to the place where we're ready to lay it down and give it up and come to God and say, "Lord, I want everything You've got. Praise God. I'm going to die. I'm going out into eternity. I need to get ready to go." There was a young man in a meeting many years ago. Brother H.M. Ricker was holding the meeting, if I remember right. And he come in and he sat down. He listened to the service and they got up to sing and the altar call. And he stood there and he was under conviction, I believe it was. And God was working with him. But he turned and he went out. And I believe somebody said to him, said, "Won't you stay a little bit longer?" He said, "My job duty calls. I've got to go to work." He went out, he made a left, and he went down and he worked at a train yard not very far from the chapel. And so they finished up the service and closed it up. The ministers walked out, and Brother Riggle walking out, and he went down, turned, and he saw a great commotion. And so he went up there, and that young man had slipped and fallen. It had cut his legs off up to his body. The blood was flowing out. He reached down, got down, and took the man in his arms, and that young man died being held by a preacher. Young men die. Young ladies die. They were some young ladies, and I didn't know them very well, but I worked with a boyfriend of one of those four young ladies. And he was a fine young man, and those young ladies, they were out joyriding, so to speak. And it's been many, many, I was in high school, so it's got to be close to 40 years ago, 42 maybe. And I don't remember what happened, but they was in an accident, and all four of them beautiful young ladies were out in eternity. That young man that was my friend and working buddy, his girlfriend had wrote him a letter the day she died. And she had put it in the mailbox, and he got it after She was dead. It like to tore him all to pieces. It like to broke him up. And just he could only handle it. The fact that she was gone. She was out in eternity. And he couldn't talk to her. He couldn't touch her. He couldn't hold her. Whatever they did. She couldn't do any of that with him anymore. She was gone. I've got plenty of time, do we? You will die, but when? How will you die? Will God have mercy upon you at the last second, so to speak? Don't depend on a deathbed experience. I'm begging you, don't depend on a deathbed experience, because Jesus told me, He said, they die so fast they don't have time to repent. Going out into eternity. God may not give that call in the last day or two, week or two, month or two. There is people that have plenty of time to repent. But God may not give that call to them. There was a young lady. According to the tract, there was an old gospel meeting going on. She went to that meeting. Her daddy was quite a wealthy man in the community, pretty powerful, pretty popular. And she had gone to that meeting and the gospel was going forth and she was quite stirred and convicted. And she was standing there, and he looked and saw his daughter, and tears were streaming. And he thought, oh, I don't want my daughter to go to the old mourner's bench. I don't want that to happen. But anyway, she didn't go that night, and he went on home, and she come home a little bit later, and he confronted her about it. He said, child, I'll wade through blood to get you if you go to that mourner's bench to get saved. He worked her over verbally. I don't think he spanked her or anything because she was a teenager. She went up to her room that night and she begged God never to deal with her or talk to her again. Pled with Him, and He done that. That feeling left of conviction. She went to bed and she went to sleep. The meeting went on. She was able to go to meeting and sat there and smile during the altar call. The meeting closed. She went back to school, or was going to school, and one day she got to feeling bad. And she come home and she said, I don't feel well. Said, maybe you ought to call the doctor. Well, they called the doctor in sometime in there, I don't know just exactly when. And she went on up and went to bed. The doctor come in and examined her, and then he let them know that she probably would not be in this world very long. Mom was saying, pray, child, pray. And she said, Mama, my heart is so cold, I can't pray. Don't push the Holy Spirit away. Don't push Him back and say, don't deal with me. Don't ever push the Holy Spirit back and say, don't deal with me, when God is trying with everything He's got, calling, begging, and pleading for you to get saved. That is the most greatest call a human being can have, the call of God. They said that when they told that father what was happening, they said you could hear him scream a half a mile away. He went up there, and in a little while, there was a creek or a well or something down, and she told her daddy, said, go get me some water out of that well. Said, I'm fire. I'm on fire. I'm burning. My feet's burning. I need something to drink. And she was doing this and going through that. He went down and she died before he got back. Went out into eternity to meet God. Oh, today, I beg you, don't put off what you need to do today. I will die. You will die. We will all die. But when are we going to die? How are we going to die? We're going to step out into eternity one of these days to meet God. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. This is the Word of God. God cannot lie. It is set in stone that you and I will die. It is appointment, and the only person that really knows it, maybe the only three people, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I've had calls, and I've sat at the bedside of people that have died. There was a young man wasn't too old. Down in the state of South Carolina, he was dying with cancer. It was during our fall meeting. We got a call to come that they thought he was going to die that night. And I don't remember, Brother Purvis, if you was there with me on that particular trip or not, but went down, I examined the situation, and I talked to everybody, looked at him, watched him for a little while, and I told him, I don't believe he's going to pass tonight. You don't? I said, no. He didn't. He lived on, I think, about two more days. We got another call. And in that call, we went down, and I know Brother Purvis was with me that night, and we walked in and I looked at Joe and examined him. He had oxygen on and everything. He was struggling and he was having a hard time. And Brother Purvis made a statement. And I don't really think he realized what he was saying. I say that lovingly. And he made a statement and said, if you'll take the oxygen off, you'll shorten his suffering. In a little bit, I heard his live-in girlfriend in another room wailing. She was wailing, folks, crying and pleading. She was just wailing. He died about 2 that morning, if I remember right, or 3, went out into eternity to meet God. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter. And as it is appointed unto man once to die. The 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes, and about the 8th verse, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen and applied my heart into every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. And because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it should be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. This is a vanity which I have done upon earth, that there be just men unto whom it happened according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. In about 1975-4, I got a call from my mother. And she said, son, come home immediately. Mother had been very sick with a case of the flu. And I rushed home, got somebody to take care of the station, whatever. I don't remember just how I done all that. But I rushed home and I found Mama in bed. And she thought she was dying. And this is what she was saying. And folks, I have never prayed, I guess, for anybody much harder than I did for my mama that morning. I was scared she was going to die. And she wasn't ready to die. I knew it, and she knew it. And she said, son, she said, life is walking away from me. It's leaving me. It's walking away. Pray, son, pray. It's leaving. It's going. I can't stop it. She was pleading, she was begging with everything. She said, I can't stop it. I'm going to tell you, when it comes time to die, old man death, you're not strong enough to stop it. There is only one individual that has the power to turn it, change it, correct it, and that's Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit. But you and I do not have power in that day to retain the Spirit. When it gets time to die, you and I are going to go out into eternity. I'm going to tell you, I wish everybody could be in that room with my mother that day that's not saved or living a hypocritical life or on the edge because her pleading meetings with the most horrible. I can't stop it, son. Pray, son. My life is leaving. I can't stop it. She was actually best. I remember reaching out, trying to stop it. But she thought she was dying right there. That was in the winter. And if I remember right, the next summer she got saved. God had been dealing with her. God had been working with her for quite a while, and I knew it, and she did. But she just kind of wanted to put it off and didn't quite want to surrender. I'm going to tell you, we need to surrender. We need to give up. We need to give all to God. We need to say, Lord, have mercy on my soul and save me at any cost. Because, folks, you can get sick, and there is people that have gone down to eternity very quickly and not had much time to repent. Now then, one of the saddest scriptures in a way in the Bible is the 10th verse. And I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. There is literally thousands upon thousands of people that have come and gone from our pulpit, or our meetings, camp meetings, tent meetings, revival meetings, Sunday services, Monarch meeting. There's literally thousands down through the years that have come and gone from the place of the holy. They have had a chance. God has dealt with them. I'm going to tell you the worst thing about hell is going to be the fact that the presence of God is not in hell. You can have His presence here. Even a sinner can feel the presence of God. I've been in meetings that were so powerful with the presence of God that even the sinners didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay there. They wanted that blessing of the presence of God right there. And they were there. And they were getting a blessing, so to speak, even though they weren't saved. But I'm going to tell you, if we inhabit a devil's hell, Jesus Christ and His Spirit and His presence will not be there. Never, never will we be able. They had gone from the place of the holy, the wicked, and they were buried. The tears, the anguish of the loved ones that are left behind because they died in an unsaved state. They died in an unsaved state. I'm going to tell you, maybe they had a chance. I remember Sister this has slipped my mind. The missionary that was in Oklahoma City, Opal Kelly. Sister Opal Kelly, she had a husband. This husband was in a meeting. He was under conviction sitting on that side. They said he was under so much conviction he was trembling, I understand. And he resisted it and resisted it and resisted it. And he went on home that day. And if I remember right, within 2 weeks he was dead and gone out into eternity. He wasn't that old that I know of. But he stepped out. And they come and go from the place of the holy. How many services have you been in? How many times have you been in a place where God is called and give you a chance, and yet you went away? You'll remember every one of them. If you end up in a devil's hell, you'll wish you was in every service you'd ever been in. You wish you was there. You wish you could hear the worst preacher, little old Carl Schaefer, preaching about death, preaching about deliverance. You wish you could hear that message again. Or Brother Michael, or Brother Curtis, or Brother Sammons, or Brother Eklastide. You wish you could hear those messages that was being preached. You wish you could feel the conviction. You wish you could hear the invitation and the pleadings and the good gospel songs. They went from the place of the holy and they're buried. They had a chance, but they're gone. They had a chance, but they're gone. Oh, Lord, help us today. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Sometimes young people, the devil gets them worse and worse. God doesn't check it. Maybe He doesn't deal with them in specifically about it, and it gets worse. You say, Brother Carl, I don't ever plan to do that. You don't know how far sin's going to take you. You don't know how bad things are going to get. You don't know what's going to happen. If we resist the pleadings and the dealings and the grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin, if we resist that and turn that down, we are opening ourselves up to the devil to do anything he wants with us. You are not made to be a pack mule for sin. You are made to serve God. You are made to live for God. You are made to go to heaven. There's not anybody that was created to die and go be lost and go to hell. We weren't created that way. We were created to go to heaven. We were created to honor God here, to glorify God here, to worship God here, and then at the end have a glorious end and go be with Jesus. Oh, is there anybody? Sin or do evil 100 times, his days be prolonged. Yet surely I know that it should be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. Oh, it is well to live for God. I would not change my life. I would not want to. I'm not interested in sin. I can walk by every smoke shop, casino, gambling hall, beer hall, alcohol place, the tavern, whatever you want to call it. I can go by all of them day in and day out. I'm not interested in that. I got something better. I got a glory. I got a peace. I got a joy. I've got something. Listen, young people, let me tell you something. When the few months before I got saved, I was with the young people at Guthrie, and those young people demonstrated peace and joy and love and all of that. They were sweet to me and kind to me, and I loved them and they loved me. But I saw they had something I didn't have, and that was happiness, joy, and peace. My daddy had money. My daddy had cars. We had land. We had all kind of things, but the bottom line was I didn't have what they had, and that began to tug at my heart. I want to encourage you young people, live for Jesus, live a life of peace and joy. Let it be known that you're a Christian. Do not be ashamed to stand up and say, I live for Jesus. Don't be ashamed to say no when somebody wants to tempt you to go somewhere and do something. Stand up and say, I'm going to live for God no matter what, praise God. Live that life. You can have an effect on other young people. You can have an effect on old people. You can have an effect on middle-aged people. The old folks love the young folks. We love to watch you. We love to see you get saved and live for God. It is a great blessing to look on this crowd and see the young people and the young couples here. I'm not getting any younger. I'm not an old man, but I sure ain't young as I used to be. Almost 59 years old. And the bottom line is, I appreciate everyone that lives for God when they're young and young married and raising their children and all they do. I want to encourage you to do that because listen folks, we've had funerals for young couples. Well, young married people, let me put it that way. Brother Leslie made a statement one time and he has studied the old tapes or whatever it was back way back in the glory days of the Eden and Light Reformation, and he has studied them. And he said, folks, they had power, they had glory, they had healings. But he said, they had a young person die here, they had a young married person die there, they had a child die there. They might have had everything that you could ask for, but God still took those people out into eternity. He saw it was enough. He saw that He wanted them. Listen, folks, today, there has been times I've got a daughter that has wrangled and wrestled and cried and almost been offended at God for the very fact that He took her cousin, Rodney, He took him out into eternity, a young man, a working for God man. But God said, Rodney, it's time to come home. Listen, we've got to turn them loose. We've got to let them go because God sees He wants them because they may backslide down the road somewhere or something else may happen. And they have an appointment with death and He's going to take them on. Oh, don't get upset at God because He takes somebody. say, thank you, Lord, that they're saved. I know it hurts. Donna Beth has cried and cried over her cousin Rodney. She's talked to her mom and talked to me some, mainly her mother, saying, why, Mama, did he take Rodney? Rodney was valuable to God, and he was, maybe in a sense. But the bottom line was, he had an appointment with death. It was time to go. Listen, he doesn't have a age situation. He takes people of all ages to heaven, praise God. He takes babies. He takes children. And you talk about stirring things up, you just have a child now. I'm going to tell you, that gets to everybody. But listen, we've got a God that knows better than we do. I am thankful today. I cried many tears over my boys. I suffered and hurt because of them. But the bottom line was, I got two children in heaven, Brother Michael. And I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful, and I want to go see them and be with them all through eternity. But they had a timeline. They had an appointment with death, so to speak. God decided to take them early. Take them on to be with Him. If He didn't, there would be no children in heaven. If He didn't take any young people, there wouldn't be no young people in heaven. That man in that 90 Minutes book, he said there that when he was coming in, he said a group of people met him of all ages. And mentors, ministers, people that kinfolks and relatives. He said he had old people and young people. And he said they come to meet him and welcome him home. Listen, if God didn't take them of all ages, they wouldn't be able to do that. Oh, today we moan and hurt and we weep and we cry. But the bottom line, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this judgment, God has given an appointed time, and we do not know when that is, young or old. Sister Karen Dixon married Brother Stanley, had lived to be a fairly old maid. Fine young lady, married a fine minister. She didn't know that she wouldn't be married but about 11 years to him. I talked to her. She has suffered. She has wailed. She's cried. She's pleaded. She said, Carl, I did not know. Said, I knew he was, oh, he's a few years older than we are. All three of us is the same age. Just a little bit apart between Rebecca and Sister Karen and myself. And she said, I didn't know that it'd be that quick. She was still on her honeymoon, so to speak. But Brother Stanley had an appointed time. And none of us could pray him back. I really wouldn't want to. I really wouldn't want to. All right, let's finish up. Job 14:10. And we'll be through. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? I want you to ask yourself today, if you was to die, where would you go? You say, well, I've got a long time to live. Do you? I'm going to get saved one of these days. Are you? The other night when that earthquake happened, we wondered if it wasn't the end of time too. Sister Maxine did. It was so quick. It was so sudden. It was so shocking and stirring. We could have been out into eternity. We were standing there praying, Lord, have mercy on everything. The house, all the congregation, ourselves. Lord, have mercy. Where is He? If you died today, where would you go? Think about it, folks. You will die. You will go out into eternity. And you don't know when you're going to die. So today is the question, where would you go? What would happen to you if you stepped out into eternity? Jesus in that vision to me that day was standing in that arch. And He said, I died for you, child. And then that other vision that I saw Him, He was standing and had a kind of a ribbon. And He said, the Word of God. He died for every one of us individually. But when we meet Him, He's the Word of God. Everything this Bible says it is, everything that it deals with,
promises, doctrines, and everything that we have in the Bible, whether we accept them or whether we reject them or what we do with it, we're going to meet it right there on that day when we bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am God. Let's stand, sing number 400, please. I appreciate your time. We've enjoyed being with you in this meeting. It's time to pray, folks. It's time to seek God. If you're not ready to go, if your experience is not what it ought to be, you may not be here tomorrow. You may not even be here tonight. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.
Amen.
400, please.